Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, everything is great. The Green Bay Packers won. That's what everybody's saying. But before we get into that, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Another great day. Fall is officially here, as I had to wear a jacket today because it's kind of on the chilly side. But before we go any further, I do want to comment. You know, yesterday, very rough day in sports. The day starts off with hearing reports that pitcher Jose Fernandez of the Florida Marlins, who would be the best pitcher in baseball if it wasn't for Tommy John surgery that he had, but he was going down the path to be the best pitcher in baseball, passed away in a boating accident at the age of 24. His life cut short. And he leaves behind an expecting wife. And then right around probably 8 o'clock-ish, 8:30, I want to say, news that hit probably kind of close to you, Troy, your area, Latrobe, Pennsylvania native, Arnold Palmer passed away as well. So give my deep heart sympathies and thoughts and prayers for the families of Fernandez and Palmer today. So I'm sure, you know, that Palmer has probably talked about quite a bit in your neck of the woods today.
Yeah, actually, I live in Latrobe, so this is where Arnold Palmer lived. He has a car dealership here, and actually part of the high school, there's an Arnold Palmer wing. So very much when I moved here, got to learn a lot about Arnold Palmer, the man, not just the golfer. And today, Evan, you know, saddened hearts in Western PA, but it was pretty neat to listen to the talk radio today because a lot of memories shared of stories that people had of Arnold Palmer. I never personally met him, but I heard a lot of stories today. And I always heard how much of a gentleman and somebody that was so, the word I'm looking for, easy to relate to the, and I'll air quote, the common person. Arnold Palmer never let his success and all of his, you know, notoriety go above the common person. He was always giving back. I know Arnold Palmer Motors is a huge contributor to a lot of local community events, a lot of organizations. I mean, this guy, Evan, there's an airport named after him in Latrobe, a car dealership. He was a huge aviator. And it was just neat today to hear all of the great stories. And really probably one of those feel-good stories of sports when there's so much bad going on. And that's what the media wants to really touch on. But how many times, Evan, did you hear about Arnold Palmer and something good he's done? I know he's old, you know, 87, I believe, is how old he was when he passed away. But how many times have you heard of the good things that he did? That you don't hear about Arnold that he did.
Yeah, I would say you didn't hear a lot about the, you know, like, you didn't hear a lot about Palmer in general. You know, he for the most part, he just didn't hear a lot about. So, but, you know, Palmer, you know, I know it wasn't, I can't say it was a shock because he's 87, but it's still saddened that, you know, to hear the news. And, you know, now I, you know, move on to our, you know, topic at hand. The Packers got there. And the Packers offense looked like it was back on track. Yeah, the offense looked like it was finally back on track, and that was good to see, Troy. That was really good to see. Rodgers looked sharp early. He only had 24 passing attempts, had 205 yards, 4 touchdowns all in the first half. Eddie Lacy looked like he was on, 17 carries for 103 yards. Nelson had over 100 yards receiving. Cobb had a nice 33-yard catch. Adams had 2 catches, 1-4 touchdown. It was fun to see the Packers in this first half, especially the Packers, Troy, looking like they were finally having fun. Rodgers looked happy in the first half. The offense just had a smooth feel to it. Rodgers was spreading the ball around. I think 8 guys had at least a catch. Yeah, 8 guys had a catch for the Packers. Rodgers was spreading the ball around. He was showing trust in guys like Perillo and guys like showing trust in him. Perillo had a big 13-yard catch. And the other thing too, Troy, the offense in the first half, they were calling plays, and they were keeping Detroit on their heels, going across the middle, going outside, going inside the number. They were keeping Detroit on their heels. Detroit, they didn't know what Green Bay was going to do passing the football, I don't think. I don't think they knew what Green Bay was going to do. They were running slants. They were running a whole lot of stuff. And that, to me, that was very good to see. And I know Detroit's defense isn't very good, so I'm taking this game with a grain of salt. I got to see more. But offensively, the Packers played a good game. Now, I would have loved, and I know Detroit had the ball for a long drive to start the second half. The Packers only had 1 possession, I believe. I think they had just 1 possession in the entire third quarter. But I would have loved to see the Packers' offense come out in similar fashion to how they played in the first half, where they kept their foot on the gas. But they let up a bit in the second half, and that's why the score looks closer than it actually was. And the injuries on defense really caught up to them. But overall, I would grade this game probably a B plus, just because there's still things to work on. But it was quite nice to see. But what are your thoughts overall on this game?
Well, I think it was a good bounce back game, definitely for confidence. I don't like the bye next week, but it is what it is. It's the way the league works now. But it was a good bounce
back. Bye next week.
What was that?
I said they kind of need a bye next week, looking at that injury report on the defense.
Yeah, I with the injuries, but it's so early in the season. I just don't like it early in the season, but it is what it is. But it was a good bounce back game after Minnesota to be able to get some rhythm. And I put a poll out on Twitter. Did this game solve all of their early season offensive woes? And you had brought up a good point, Evan. It was against the Detroit Lions. I think what it did is it helped give the Packers a base, a good base, to rebound from not such a good performance in Minnesota. And it wasn't – here's the thing, Evan. I know you and I were pretty critical after the Minnesota game, but when you look at it, as – horrid as they played, and the times they didn't look really good, they were right there, which is a sign of a team that can be very good. And so it was nice to see him bounce back. It was awesome to see him get out on the right foot, put it kind of a little bit on cruise control. Would I have liked to see the cushion a little bit more? Sure. But when you get a big lead, you kind of do the opposite of what you were saying they did in the first half, keeping the Lions on their toes. You can kind of come a little bit predictable at times, but I think you're absolutely right. The defense, all the injuries, the Lions have a good offense. Even with Calvin Johnson retiring, they picked up Marvin Jones, who has been such a great pickup for them, and you can't forget Golden Tate. So they have a good offense. Matthew Stafford's a quarterback that can make mistakes, but he's a quarterback that you can put in there. He is an NFL starting quarterback. He's a guy that can make plays at times, but he can also make a boneheaded play at times. So it's an offense that can put up points. Their defense, and not that scary defense the Lions had a few years back where it's like, oh, my God, Sue's going to come and just kill us and be very physical. But it was nice to see them get out to such a great start. And the way that they did it, like you said, off balance. We had mentioned on the show that if Rodgers have to toss this ball 30 or 40 times, they're probably going to lose. It was nice to see Eddie Lacy run good, 17 carries, 103 yards. My big thing from this game, Evan, and I know the Lions don't have a prolific running attack, but it's now 3 weeks in a row, and that Packer run defense is going to hang on to that number one ranking. They only allow 2.2 yards per rush. I believe it was 28 carries, 50 yards was the total rushing stats for the Lions. Now, again, they don't have a great running game to start with, but you still have to stop it. And you made the Lions one-dimensional. And it doesn't matter who you're playing. If defensively you can make the other team one-dimensional, you're going to have a great chance to win the ball game. And I'm very happy that against a team that they should have dominated the run against, they just went out and they still did. Even with the injuries, they still stopped the run. And that's what you have to do. You were supposed to, and they did it. And, you know, you look at it, yeah, they got torched again in the passing game, but, you know, it's something to work on. And, again, yeah, you have to at some point, Evan, not use the injuries as an excuse, but you have to be real. No Clay Matthews, no Morgan Burnett, no Sam Shields. Three big keys in that pass. But overall, like I said, good bounce back game. Very good offensive output in the first half. And they got a big enough lead where, you know, at the end of the game, somebody just looks at the score 34-27 and says, ooh, what a close game. Yeah. I'll turn it back over to you. Did you ever feel that this game was in doubt, Evan, as the game went on?
Not really. I never felt that it was in doubt at all. I just, Green Bay got in cruise control a little bit. I didn't feel that Detroit was going to come back and win. I just didn't think they would. And, you know, people are criticizing the defense quite a bit today. The defense gave up all these yards and all these points, especially in the second half. You know, they gave up 17 points to Detroit, to Green Bay only getting three. Well, defensively, Green Bay was without Morgan Burnett, without Clay Matthews, without Sam Shields, without Dayton Jones, without Latroy Guyon. Randall got dinged up, came back, and was ineffective. I don't overreact to what the defense did. I think the defense did fine with the hand that they were dealt, and they were running a very preseason style defense in the game. But I never thought Detroit would be able to come back. I really didn't think so. And, you know, Packers, they're definitely a better team than Detroit. Now, as I said, I would have much preferred to see Packers offense maybe one or two of the I think, you know, every time I look at the Packers, you know, I would have loved to see them, the second half do what they did in the first half, but they just got cruise control. So, yeah, I would have loved to have seen that. But overall, I think it was a great game overall for the most part. They just controlled the game. And I would say, Troy, a guy I got to tip my hat to, Ty Montgomery. After the Detroit's field goal, they kicked the ball off. It bounces into the end zone and back out of the end zone, and the ball just died, I think, at the four-yard line. Montgomery, using his intelligence, using his Stanford brain, he had stepped out of bounds to avoid the, because I think he thought the ball was going to bounce through the end zone, and he didn't want it to bounce off of him. So he tried to get out the way. He then falls to the ground and extends from out of bounds, touches the ball, and makes it a penalty on Detroit for kicking the ball out of bounds because he touched the ball out of bounds. Now, is it a bizarre rule? Yeah, very bizarre rule. It's something that seems like Packers are ahead of the game a lot of time on rules like that. I think there was a play that Cobb a few years back when fielding a kick, the ball stopped before the end zone. While standing in the end zone, he reached out, grabbed the ball, pulled it back in the end zone, and it was a touchback. So just how impressed were you with Montgomery's heads-up play?
Yeah, I mean, for a young guy to be able to make decisions like that, that is very promising. I mean, this is a game, and you know this, Evan, you can have all the talent in the world. You cannot be as talented as the guy next to you. There is a part of this game in the NFL that is all mental and hard work, and that's what I see from that play. It's a heads-up play. It's a smart play. Those are things, yeah, you can go over them and over them, and you can talk about being smart, and you can talk about that part of the game in film, and just to have football IQ and to be able to execute that, that's a good sign from a young player, you know, that he gets it, that mentally understands, and then the effort to be able to do it. So, yeah, very impressed with that. And I want to just touch on something you said, Evan. Everybody's looking at this defense and saying, oh, my, they got torched again. And I even said that. But, you know, you look at it, Evan, they made them one-dimensional. And, again, you're not playing against, you know, a washed-up quarterback. Stafford has an arm, and he's got weapons. And I had said this last week that I thought that the Lions were going to be able to move the ball and put up a few points. It was going to be come down to the Packer offense. And, again, with the injuries, you don't want to make excuses, but you take away a Clay Matthews, you take away a Morgan Burnett and Sam Shields. Those are three key components to that passing game, our passing defense, and you're missing them. And, again, you have to take a look at it that it's a Lions offense with a lot of good weapons. So would you like to see some more things and better on third down? Sure. Yeah, definitely would. I think having those three guys in there, Shields, Burnett, and Matthews, I don't think they convert 57% on third down. But it is what it is. I mean, you got the guys out there, and you don't know how long these guys are going to be out. If I have one thing to look at that I would like to point my finger at and say I hope they get better at is third down defensively. Because you got to get off the field. And the Lions converted 57%. But I think, you know, you have a Clay Matthews in there, that definite pass rush on third down, that's going to help. You have Morgan Burnett in there, and then you have Sam Shields. You get those three guys healthy, I don't see 57% for Detroit again. You know, next time they play, if all three are playing. So that's where I'll go with that, and people say the defense sucks. That's great. You want to say they suck, go ahead. I don't think they suck. I go back to what I said. If they're going to be able to stop the run and make teams one-dimensional, and they can hold another team to 2.2 yards rushing, I'll take that every game, Evan, if they're going to give up over 300 in the air, because it means they're one-dimensional. And if a team becomes one-dimensional, and I want to get your thoughts, Evan. You shut down the run, and you make a team one-dimensional. Pretty much they're going to get 300 yards passing, and when you get a big lead, they have to throw the ball. But doesn't it make it easier to defend? You know what's coming, and they're going to make plays. It's a passing league. Every team has good receivers. Even an average quarterback, when they're one-dimensional, is going to be able to throw the ball, especially when you're behind. You have to throw. So wasn't it pretty much a given when the Packers got out by 28 points that all the Lions are going to be able to do is throw the ball? And at that point, don't you have to concede that they're probably going to throw for over 300 yards?
Yeah, well, a couple things I want to add. You know, they made them one-dimensional. Detroit had to throw, like you said. Of course, the passing numbers are going to start to climb a little bit. The other thing you got to realize, too, as I said before, Packers are like preseason football-like. They were playing very soft zone. I don't recall too many times they blitz in this game, especially in the second half. I can't think of too many times. You know, Nick Perry ended the game with a couple sacks. But I guess I can't think of too many times that they went after the quarterback you know, they went after the quarterback and blitzed the quarterback. I can't think of too many times. They were playing a lot of soft zone, trying to eliminate the big play. And aside from where Hawkins fell down on the 73-yard touchdown pass to Matt Marvin Jones, they didn't really have too many huge plays. And that's because Josh Hopkins, or whatever his name was, he fell down. If he doesn't fall down, the play doesn't go for 70-some-odd yards. So, you know, I'm not 100% satisfied with the Packers right now after the game against Detroit, but I'm not 100% dissatisfied either. You know, the Packers still have stuff they need to work on, still have stuff they got to show. And to me, this is just the beginning. And with the injuries they have right now, you know, this game, I mean, this having the bye week coming up, not having it could be just what the doctor ordered, because now they can get people healthy, get Morgan Burnett healthy, get Clay Matthews healthy. You know, Sam Shields gets another week to recover from his concussion as they get ready for the New York Giants on October 9th. And that Giants game should be a good one, because Giants look like they got a pretty decent team themselves. But, you know, if I had to pick a offensive player of the game, you know, I think it would probably go to, Jordy Nelson, I would say, with that 6 catches that he had. Defensively, Nick Perry. And special teams, Mason Crosby. The one concern I do have is they punted the ball twice, and it was a 33.5 average between the two punts. But he did get one with one inside the 20. But I think the punting game is going to be a liability for probably the remainder of the year. The punts that the Packers had, they lucked out by having such great field position. It didn't look like that bad a punt because, you know, Packers weren't punting from their own 10-yard line. So do you still got some concerns over the punting game?
Evan, it's going to be every week. We brought in the Pooh Ball Award for this year that we're going to do it every Tuesday for our NFL line. So every week I'm just going to laugh now when you read the stat line for punting and it's 30-some yards per punt. If you're a Packer fan, don't hope anymore. Yeah, I know it's a small body of work. It's 3 weeks. But don't tell me all of a sudden in week 5 after the bye that Mr. Shum is going to have a 45-yard average. Yeah, he's had enough punts now. It's not like it's one punt per game that's 35 yards. And it's one of those where it's just, it's an anomaly. It is what it is. This is what you get, Packer fans, for punting. This is what you get. You're going to have a piss-poor punting season. That's what it's going to be. I don't see it turning around. Not after 3 games. It's going to be terrible. And I just hope that he can hang the ball up there. This is what we need, Evan. If he's going to punt it 35 yards, he needs to have like a 4.5 hang time and get fair catches. Or just punt it so bad that they can't return it. Just punt it 25 yards and let it roll 10 more yards. I don't care. Because it's terrible. I think they need to bring other punters in and work them out. Because I don't think it's going to get any better. And it was a bad move on the Packers' part. So I think they've got to try other punters out. Maybe they will in the bye week. And if they're not smart enough to realize the punting game is terrible right now, shame on them. It's not going to get better. I'm sorry to be so critical after 3 weeks and people say give him time. It's not like he's only punting the ball one time a game. I know he only had 2 against Detroit, but this is now week 3, Evan, and it is terrible. And it scares me every time that they line up to punt. So I am on the bus already. They need to work out some punters, and they need to bring somebody else in. They've got to get somebody else in there because it's going to come back to bite them in the butt. So I'm not happy with it, and I'll just laugh if we've got to keep talking about the punting line every week, that it's 2-3 punts for 35-yard average. So I know we haven't been burnt yet on it, but I don't see anything that's very promising there. My player of the game, actually, Evan, I like Eddie Lacy. I am on the Eddie Lacy bandwagon again. I know you and I were before the season when we worked out. It was it was traditional Eddie Lacy. Pound, 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 and then he gets, you know, one of those patented 25-yard big runs. And that's what we expect from Eddie Lacy. I liked how he ran the ball. I know you had Rodgers with four touchdowns and, you know, Jordy Nelson with two touchdown catches. I just like the way Eddie Lacy ran the ball against Detroit. And, again, I know it's not a scary defense, but I like the fact that it was 17 for 103. He ran hard again and dropped his patent one long run, which I really like. So I'm going to go there. And then, you know, defensively, I can't disagree with you with Perry. I thought that he had his motor running and played very well. And again, defensively, people, you know, we'll go back to the Aaron Rodgers relax thing. Fans need to relax about the defense. I mean, I looked at it from this standpoint, Evan. I didn't get mad. I mean, I didn't get mad at the defense. Sometimes I get mad when I'm watching the game. I just flat out get mad. Didn't really get mad. That's why I asked you the question. Did you ever feel this game was in doubt? Because I didn't. And like you said, you weren't either. It is what it is. And I think the defense will be just fine, especially going back to what I said about stopping the run. You stop the run against every team and make them one-dimensional, you're then going to give up plays in the passing game, even with Matthews and Burnett and Shields back, because they're going to attempt so many times that they're going to move the ball. I will take stopping the run 100% every time, because I think defensively we've got enough when we're healthy to have a decent secondary, and we got a good secondary. So that's all I got to say. What else you got?
I got nothing else to add. Tomorrow we're going to talk about week two of the NFL season, and you know, maybe Wednesday talk a little less Miles being fired from LSU potentially. So that was kind of the shock over the weekend. But you know, I got nothing else to add. I'm going to throw it back to you to you know, wrap it up and let our amazing listeners go.
Yeah, who you definitely want, you know, Evan. I think it's this time this week that we've got to really talk about the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should just let it be. The minute we start talking about them, they got a tough one this week, though, against Michigan. But you and I, you know, we talked, and I know we only got like 2 or 3 minutes left on our live show. But maybe we can just finish up quickly here with quick thoughts. Before the season, Evan, we said this is a young Badger team. It'll be nice to see them progress. A lot of young guys, a lot of new starters. My expectations were not that high, Evan. So now with the early season success, I know a big test against Michigan. But at this point, Evan, to be ranked in the top 10, that was in my wildest dreams. I would have never thought that this early in the season we would have seen the Wisconsin Badgers ranked in the top 10. And to be honest, if they get a win against Michigan, Evan, which is, it's far-fetched, but if they get a win against Michigan, you've got to take a look and say that this Wisconsin Badger team is for real. I mean, would they beat LSU and we're like, okay, they went out, they played a good game, they were young, a lot of emotion, but they just went out and they traveled to Michigan State, Evan, and they didn't just beat them. They put a whooping on them. And I have to say, they have exceeded my expectations times 1,000. And what about you quickly, with the 1 minute left in this show, you have to be excited and happy about the early season success of the Badgers.
So she cut you off, so. I didn't hear the question you asked. This video lady cut you off.
Oh, I was just saying that the early season expectations times 1,000 for me. And so, you know, how can you not be excited about the early season success here, Evan?
Yeah, definitely. It's very exciting. And Hornibrook looked pretty good, especially in third down situations as well. So I'm very excited later this week to talk about the Badgers.
All right. So for all of you that have listened in, we appreciate you listening to us recap the Green Bay Packers. Tomorrow night, NFL recap, and make sure you tune in because Evan and I give out our new award, the Pooh Ball Award, for those players or team, or as Evan gave last week to a sports announcer, the Pooh the Bet Award. So for Evan with Allison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.